Hello, folks. Welcome back. This is Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast about the power of women's professional wrestling. My name is Harley Vasquez.
Hey, I'm Lindsay. And I'm here, too.
I'm Don.
Hey, it's us. Harley, Lindsay, and Don. Three sevenths of the Glitterati, I want to say. I can't believe I don't know how many of us there are off the top of my head.
We'd be a good trios team.
Three sevenths of the Glitterati here on the podcast this week. That's a lot. It's a decent chunk of the team, but an even bigger chunk would be six sevenths, and that's happening 2 weeks. Live in person.
I'm so excited. So freaking excited.
Literally breaking news, because like when we recorded last week's episode, I was not going to America. I had no plans on going to Philadelphia or America anytime soon. And it was literally Saturday morning, I think, when Lindsay told me that she was going to WrestleMania weekend. And I knew that Em and Don were already going. And I was like, wait a minute, Em and Don are going. And Lindsay's going now. And Mayday's going. And Val Pankey's going. What the hell? I want to go.
Yeah. I'm afraid. I'm like sad people aren't going to come up to us and being like, oh my god, look at all the Glitterati.
They better. Is Brian Bell going to be there? Brian will come up to us and be like, oh my god.
Does that mean I need to wear glitter? Like a lot of glitter?
It depends on the show that you're going to, right? Like, each show has its own theme.
Maybe not glitter at Bloodsport.
Yeah, Joe Janela's Spring Break. I don't know. But I don't know. Something really Atlantic City-ish.
Just get some Lisa Frank and then spill your drink on it. And then you're good to go.
And have like a half-smoked cigarette in my mouth the whole time.
Yes. Yes, perfect. That's the aesthetic, but I respect it. I love it. Joey's always been really nice to me online.
Yeah, so I don't think Jackie is going to be in town for Mania weekend, although I'm not sure. They don't live far. I haven't heard anything, but if they don't make it, then everybody else in the Glitterati is there, and that's pretty cool, because I met Em and Don in person at Enjoy Wrestling twice now. I've never met Lindsay, never met Mayday. Never met Val Pancakes. I know Val Pancakes has never met anybody else on the team either. So just for that reason alone, like not setting aside, oh yeah, we get to see cool wrestling and meet a bunch of cool wrestlers as well. Even ignoring that, I get to meet my friends in person. And
it's like the biggest trip.
we'll get that big group selfie somewhere, somehow, even if it's on, yes, on a street corner running from one show to another.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I think the other nice thing is it's WrestleMania weekend, but none of us give a shit about WrestleMania.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's
so I don't even
really
know. I don't know any of the match. Well, I probably know like one or two of the matches. That's like it.
Yeah. So once WrestleMania starts, it's like, oh, we got the night free. There's nothing else going on. Mm-hmm.
I'm going with my cousin, and we're both really artsy, and we're going to just, like, do arts and crafts in our hotel room, I think. Like, maybe make a collage book or something from all our little sketches throughout the weekend, if any get made.
Yeah, I'm driving down from Canada. It's about 8 hours, I believe, to Philly, with my wife, who's not into wrestling, but goes to all these things with me because she's the best. So I'm definitely going to fit in a bunch of non-wrestling related touristy things. Listeners, if you know Philadelphia or New Jersey, tell us, like, what museums, art galleries, like, where should we head up?
I've been there before for some art stuff, and the big Philly museum that Rocky ran up the steps. Yeah, if you keep running into the museum, it's like a really cool art museum. So do that. That's my suggestion.
That was the sequel,
just
right?
Just keep running.
Rocky 2 was Rocky just like running through the museum.
Yeah, that's the one I like because he's like, yo, Adrian, look at this painting. And wham, walking here.
Hey, it's a Picasso.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's the Rocky I love. I don't know why CM Punk hasn't seen that movie.
So, well, we got a whole show to talk about, but this is too exciting to pass up. Don, you got the pass for the collective, right? Every single collective show?
What's that? Oh yeah, we have the pass to the collective, but we're also doing Stardom.
Right, Stardom's Thursday, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's busy. Like, we thought, oh, we can sneak out of work Friday, get there Friday afternoon. And then I look at the schedule, I'm like, damn, we're going to miss, like, a lot. Like, we'll miss the TJPW show, we'll miss the Stardom show, because all that has, like, some things are kicking off on Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, they're stacking Thursday for some reason. Everyone is.
Yeah, I'm going down Thursday, and the first show I'm going to see is Mayday CFU 1. And KZT from the WOW episode, she's going to be there, too. She's like, oh, I'm going to be at Labor of Love before that, wrestling Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. And I would love to go see that, but I can't, because, you know, got to check into my hotel.
Yeah, I convinced my wife to drive 8 hours, and we don't even have, like, a place to stay yet. We're still checking Airbnb. Just because of the FOMO of, like, I want to be a part of this somehow. And even still, even with us going and getting to attend, like, we're going to the Spark Joshi show, we're going to the Thrashylvania show, we're trying to get into for the culture. Even still, I have FOMO of, like, damn it, we're missing the Stardom show, we're missing the Labor of Love, we're missing the 880 show, we're missing FUJK brunch. But it's like, you physically can't go to all of them, even if you wanted to, even if you could afford to.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're missing the 880 show. I forget what is on, what else is, because they changed the time of it. So, oh, yeah, that's the same time as Stardom and Bloodsport. So.
Yeah, I was having a hard time, like, picking out my tickets for which show, because I'm like, A, this is my first WrestleMania weekend, and B, the person I'm bringing with is, like, so new to wrestling. So hopefully she doesn't end up hating it.
Yeah, I was really trying. I was like, okay, maybe I won't make my wife go to more than that, like, one show per day, because, like, I feel bad. I was like, oh, we could go to this, and then we could go to, like, Supercard of Honor right after. I'm like, that's a long night. She's not gonna want to do that. That's not fun.
Yeah, I'm doing two shows max on Saturday.
I have to go to Thrashylvania to support Kevin, because he's such a great guy, and I think he will be on this podcast next week to preview Thrashylvania and talk about that. And then Spark Joshi, like, I don't think, Lindsay, do they have any matches announced?
I don't even think so, but they just keep coming out with more and more people, and I accidentally bought one of their two pay-per-views, like, twice on Fight TV/Thriller, whatever it is now. So now I'm like, oh, I have to be supporting them. And I saw Aja Kong's going to be there. So I was like, I'm there. I might give her a little painting. I haven't decided yet. We'll see.
Yeah, that one says, like, meet and greets with Mayu Iwadani, Tam Nakano, Mina Shirakawa, Azumi. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, maybe there aren't any matches. Maybe there isn't going to be any wrestling. That's okay.
I'll just hang out.
Yes.
Let's just hang out, guys.
Maybe the whole show is just one battle royal for like an hour and a half.
It's an actual brunch.
Yeah, so, oh, man. So much going on. So much excitement. Yeah, I don't even know who else is going to be there besides members of our team. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that we're, like, internet friends with who are going to be there. People, like, there are people, like, former guests of this podcast that I'm going to get to see wrestle for the first time in person. Like, I don't think I've ever seen the Outfielders in person. And they're on the one show, and not to mention the Japanese talent. So it's just...
oh my god.
Don, are you guys, like, thinking you're going to go to every single collective show? You have tickets to them all. Is that the goal?
Yeah, the goal is to go to everything except Bloodsport.
Oh. Is there a reason why not Bloodsport?
Because Stardom's at the same time.
Oh, okay. Not a protest of some sort.
I think it's so funny that this year that they have not only Shayna Baszler fighting Masha Slamovich at Bloodsport, but they have another tournament, a women's tournament. And I used to dog Josh Barnett on Twitter and cyberbully him to book more women. And then the 1 year he does all this, he's probably breaking a sweat. I'm like, oh, sorry, Josh, I can't go. I have to go to CFU. Sorry.
Are they running at the same time?
Yeah, kind of, because I think Bloodsport starts at 4 and CFU starts at 6:30, but that's also in New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, that's just so funny, because, like, I know Mayday would be, like, front row at Bloodsport otherwise.
Absolutely, no. To him, like, CFU's a better version of Bloodsport. Like, and I agree. I love that shit. I'm all about it. I'm, like, that was the deciding factor for me to go, because, like, I think he mentioned the show and I was like, oh yeah, that's coming up soon, and he's like, are you going? And I was like, you know what, yes I am. And then everything else formed around it.
Oh yeah, Mayday, I'm so sorry. If it was any other day I would have been there for sure, but I can't get that many days off work. But busy weekend for sure. So next week on the show, we are going to be talking to Kevin McElvaney about Thrashylvania. We might do a little bit more of a preview of some specific, maybe we'll single out like some matches from different shows that we're really looking forward to. Because the whole weekend, yeah, like we said, the whole weekend is incredibly stacked. Big Gay Brunch, Spring Break, Bloodsport, For the Culture, TJPW versus GCW. Like there's so many amazing things happening. And then our plan right now is 2 weeks from today will be our episode live in Philadelphia / New Jersey, I guess. That's Em and I have already talked about it. We're just going to have our little recorders and our little clip-on microphones that we bought for the last Enjoy show, and we're just going to be recording everywhere we go, on the street, in the hotels.
I love that!
Anywhere we can, and we'll get everybody on the show. This is our big, it's going to be a big one for us.
Yo, if you guys seriously want to do some arts and crafts, I'll bring a bunch of stuff. We could add a video element.
Can we make really big glittery signs to hold up in the crowd?
Yeah. Like, I've got a lot of tissue paper, and I've got a lot of markers, a lot of paint markers. Like, I've been buying them cheap off Amazon. Too scared to use Temu. I won't do that.
On the show, though, we are talking about Kitsume Women's Wrestling and their second or maybe third, it's unclear, show, Kanpai. It aired this past Sunday night on IWTV live from Glendale, California. I have it in my notes as like an American Joshi promotion, because basically the conceit of it. And that's kind of become like a trend lately as well, because like Skabon calls itself that as well. So does Spark Joshi. There's been like a real renaissance in this idea of like, I don't know if it's just the Joshi renaissance since like Stardom getting picked up by New Japan and Bushiroad really raised their profile, which like raises all ships. But especially in the last couple of years, it feels like everybody is talking again about like Joshi promotions and Japanese women and bringing Japanese women over to America in the post-pandemic world for the first time.
I have an interesting hypothesis, and it just mirrors my personal journey with watching wrestling, was that I was like, oh wow, the best stuff came out of All Japan in the 80s and 90s and the women's stuff, and everyone else had the pandemic and was inside watching wrestling too, and was like, yeah, once stuff opens up, let's get real into Joshi. And you know, here we are, we're seeing the fruits of our labor, and I think it's wonderful.
So a little bit about the history of Kitsune. Kitsune is started by Air Coward. He's a lifelong wrestling fan, and he gets really into Joshi Promotions and Joshi Wrestling after visiting Japan for the first time in 2016 and attending a Stardom show. Since then, he says he's been to Japan 7 times. He's attended shows from people like Gato Move, and that really inspired him to start his own wrestling podcast in 2019, the Joshi Pod. Once I read that, I was like, oh, okay, because like I won't say everybody, but Joshi Pod is really well known. It was a very popular podcast when he was doing it. I think he took a long sabbatical, but it's back going now. But on his podcast, he's interviewed like Bull Nakano, Chigusa Nagayo, Maki Ito, so like all the like lots of big names. And it's the podcast which kind of decides to create his own promotion. So it was actually last year, 2023, he decides to start his own promotion and bring some Joshi talent to wrestle in America. He calls it Kitsune. Kitsune are sort of trickster foxes from Japanese folklore.
Yes, yes. I'm a huge nerd for Japanese folklore. And yeah, I think it's just a regular fox, but they're like one of those like spiritual type animals that have like powers and stuff. It's borrowed from like Chinese mythology too. But yeah, they're tricksters, they're shapeshifters, and they like live forever. And then they eventually become like beautiful women when they're like tens of thousands of years old and just play tricks on people and mess up lives. It's great. It's like, I guess, the femme fatale type stuff.
Kind of like the Johnny Cash fox from the Simpsons episode where Homer eats the magic chili.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, you might see some like trippy shit. You might meet a beautiful lady that turns out to be a fox. Who knows? Don't eat the peppers. That's all I gotta say.
So the first Kitsune show was last October, October 22nd, 2023 in Los Angeles. There was about 300 people in attendance. We had Veda Scott and Kid Bandit on commentary. And over 3 hours, they delivered 10 matches, 6 singles matches, a 3-way, 2 tag matches, and a rumble. Big show, which seems to be the trend, as we'll get to. That one featured Japanese talent like Konami and Risa Sera, as well as a lot of AEW talent. Mercedes Martinez. Oh, shoot. Yeah, she is AEW. I forget because she's so not featured. Mercedes Martinez, Willow Nightingale, Billy Starks, people like that. In the main event of that show, it was a 3-way to crown the first Kitsune champion. Unagi Sayaka defeated Dark Sheik and Tai Hanma to become the first Kitsune champion. Now, social media, I found a bunch of posts on their social media hyping that in November they were doing their second show in Tokyo at Shinkiba First Ring in conjunction with Marvelous. We'll see, they're very closely tied with Marvelous. They were doing their second show in Tokyo in November. And I saw lots of posts advertising this before the fact, but then I didn't see anything about the show after the fact. I can't find any photos from it. There's nothing on Cage Match about whether or not this show happened, or if it did happen, what matches were on the card. So I'm not clear whether or not Konnichiwa, the second show in November, actually did happen or not.
I've never heard of that. That's wild. But it's, I don't want to like just bring up bad memories of like certain like wrestling promotions that were like catering to like certain niche audiences and like promised more than they could deliver. But I'm glad to see that this place is still going and it wasn't just like someone's like, you know, idea that ran too far.
Yes, we were back regardless. 7 months after, or not 7 months, not May yet, it's March. 5 months after the first show, we are back in California for Kanpai, live on IWTV. We had Veda Scott on commentary, mostly solo. It seemed there were like audio issues. There was a second commentator.
Yeah, I think for the first couple matches, the other person's mic wasn't working or something. But I think towards like the third match or so, it got okay. All right.
Yeah, I didn't catch her name because it wasn't shown on screen. They weren't shown on screen, either of them. And I think they only said the name once, like right off the top.
When it was Aria Perkins.
Aria Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Veda and Aria Perkins, sort of, on commentary. This one was, so I prepped my notes for this episode, like, I don't know, 3 days before the show, and I listed all the matches that were scheduled for the show, and apparently in the 2 days before the show, a lot changed. A lot of the matches got turned around, and some people got pulled, and some solos became tag matches became tag matches with other people, and then some other matches got thrown on unannounced as well, it seemed like. In the end, we ended up with 9 matches, 30 wrestlers, a full 3-hour show with intermission. I don't know. I came away from this feeling like this was probably like a blast in person, and it maybe didn't translate as well online.
For me, I thought, you know, it started off a little slow, but then, you know, once we got into like the fourth match or so, it really started picking up. And, you know, once Jordan's match happened, then it really started picking up.
Yeah, for me, I think it was a case of there being too many tag matches. Like, I like a good tag match, but especially when it's talent maybe that I'm not, like, overly familiar with. Because this is the type of show, right, where it's just, here's a bunch of matches. It's not like Enjoy where you get, like, it's pre-produced and you get the backstage interviews and promos, things like that. Here's a bunch of matches. So if you're not familiar with the talent, I tune out during like a 6-person tag if I'm not overly familiar with the talent inside, because it's a lot of bodies and it's hard for me to really like invest myself in the match.
I think that's a lot of like the Japanese style though. Like they'll have like a lot of like the 3-on-3 matches and stuff like that a lot more than, you know, like typical singles matches.
Yeah, that's true. Like a typical like Stardom card, almost every show has the entire roster on it, and so you end up with like the first 3 matches are like trios tags, 8-person tags, things like that. This felt like a case of Eric the booker being like, there's so many people I want to book, like let's bring them all over and put them all on one show. Which I'm sure I'm probably in the minority in saying like, oh, I felt like maybe too much. Like I would have trimmed a couple matches off. I would have trimmed 10 wrestlers off and really like delivered more singles matches. That's just my preference though.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that. The first one that was like the 4-person scramble. And then the one after that was the 2 tag teams. Those ones were, I thought the show would have better had them like a pre-show type of deal, because it just felt like a lot of like really fresh people. But interestingly, the one Zyra, she is on Women of Wrestling now. She's only been on one episode, but she was just thrown into a random tag team to get rid of I think Everly Rivera. She was friends with Jasmine Allure. I think she's not even on social media anymore, I don't think. But she's not with WoW anymore, so she was replaced by this Zyra girl. But seems cool.
That's the girl that tagged with Jada?
No, this was Zyra, Brooke Havoc, and Amazona.
Oh, okay, in the third match. Okay.
Yeah. I was confused with the Amazona because it said Baronessa on the title card.
Yeah, I was confused with that too, because like even on like Dark Graphics online, it said Baronessa.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. am I hearing it wrong? Or like what's going on?
So I think Amazona was like a real last minute replacement, because Baronessa was advertised for the match.
Okay. But yeah, they should have just cut that match entirely. AMO.
Well, our opening contest was a 4-way diamond match, which I guess is just a 4-way first pin.
Yeah, I didn't understand the diamond part either.
You could tell in commentary Vader like wasn't sure. Vader was like, "What's a diamond match?"
But that's when you should have put on the pre-show.
Aspen Rose versus Maserati versus J-Rod versus Milo. This one, I thought it was like, I'm like, yeah, 4-person as like an opener. It's fun because you get a lot of bodies going all over the place. You don't need like a firm like story. It's just like, hey, here's a bunch of people, And these are all, like, strong personalities. Right away, you're like, okay, J-Rod's the powerhouse. Maserati's, like, the sneaky heel who's, like, going to try to steal the pins and, like, take advantage of things. And Aspen Rose as the babyface for, like, a promotion like this makes a ton of sense because she's the waifu, right? Like, she's American, but she's, like, Japanese in spirit. And so she's, like, a perfect babyface for a promotion like Kitsune.
And I think, you know, for this match, it's like if you follow indies on the West Coast, you probably know most of these people.
I hadn't seen, like, most of them before, but I thought J-Rod was really cool. She was, like, I almost was kind of, like, squinting, and I was like, she kind of gives me, like, little Jordan Grace vibes here and there.
Yeah, I'm a big Maserati fan, too. Like, I think she just has a really cool style.
She was scrappy. I liked her.
So J-Rod picks up the win with a spear on Maserati, although the finish was a little, like, the referee counted two and then,
it was,
like,
weird.
Waited for somebody to break it up, and then nobody did, and the referee was like, maybe Maserati's shoulders are up, and it's like, oh, no, they're not? Okay, I guess it's three. J-Rod wins.
And then, like, as someone was jumping to break it up, he's like, fuck it, three.
It happens, like, it's... You know, and there was, like, there's no stakes to this one, right? Like, J-Rod won when it was, you know, it was supposed to be Milo. Like, okay, that's fine. In the end, it doesn't really change anything. And then we go right into our second match. No time to breathe. Second match is a big one, though, because it is Queen Aminata versus Sandra Moon. And honestly, like, out of all 30 people on this card, Aminata's in, like, the top three of, like, really, like, having a standout 2024.
Since she's come back from injury, she's been, like, I mean, she was good whenever she went out, but, like, she's been unbelievable since she came back. Like, on Ring of Honor, on all the indie shows, she has just been so good.
Yeah, at the moment, she is set to face Billy Starks to crown the first ROH Women's TV Champion at SuperCard of Honor next week. So
that match will be incredible.
She could be holding gold in ROH by the time WrestleMania rolls around.
Yeah, this one got me really excited. I thought this was a fun match. I really like Sandra Moon. This is my first time seeing Queen Aminata. She's really great, though. I've heard people talk her up, and it delivered, and then some.
Now, the one thing I'll say, so that you look at this lineup on paper of all the wrestlers on the card, and yeah, it's stacked, right? We've got wrestlers from Japan, wrestlers from Mexico, we've got AEW talent, we've got the TNA Knockouts champion. That said, I want to say there was only, like, one match out of the entire night where I was surprised by the finish. Most of them, I was like, as soon as, you know, they come out, it's like, oh, well, Aminata's in AEW and Sandra isn't, so I know who's winning this one. Oh, this wrestler's from Japan, this one's from America, I know who's winning this one. So there wasn't a lot of, like, intrigue, really.
I don't know if the whole, like, if you work for AEW, you can't lose on the indies rumor is totally true, you know?
It feels that way, except Trish Adore did get pinned on this show. That was the only one that, like, that was the match that surprised me, because I thought in that one for sure it would be her partner taking it.
And, like, Billy will lose on the indies sometimes too.
Well, wait, was Marina Shafir with Trish Adore?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. They're both, well, isn't Trish just on ROH? I don't know how it ever works. Like, they're all elite. They get the graphic that they're all elite, and then they're only on Ring of Honor. Like, unless you're Eddie Kingston, and then you're never on Ring of Honor, but you're always on AEW.
There's no indication. It's like, yeah, Trish is, like, exclusively ROH, but then once every 3 months gets to job to somebody on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, like, Marina Shafir was, like, walking around on AEW with a hat. I might be really out of the loop.
I think Marina left AEW officially a couple months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, like officially she doesn't work for Tony Khan on any promotion.
Was it because Tony she Khan brought Ronda in that one day?
Yeah, she brought Ronda. People are like, yeah, you shouldn't work here anymore.
God, if only it worked like that.
All right, match number 3 was our big Lucha Libre trios tag, Lady Apache, Kitsune, not the coincidence. It's not her promotion. And Charisma versus Amazona, Brooke Havoc, and Zyra. As I said, I kind of tuned out of this one because I was like, ooh, here's 6 people. Like, I know some of their names. I'm not well invested in any of them particularly. And it's just 6 people flying around and it's hard. That's not my kind of thing. Although, again, I'm sure live it's probably a blast.
I thought it seemed a little off. And I don't know if it's because you had like 3 languages going on and stuff like that. Because, like, you know, I'm sure they're all, you know, phenomenal wrestlers, but I did think the match seemed a little off.
I was getting so mad when they were doing, like, that pile in the corner thing. It looked like everything had just, like, gone to shit, and they were like, I'm going to run over to this corner. And then, like, they were trying to do, like, a pile-up setup, but it was just, like, mm-hmm. the timing. I mm-hmm. was like, what is happening? Like...
Then we're back into another take team match. It is Tomoko Watanabe and Sadie Gibbs taking on Las Cochinas, Heidi Howitzer, and Lindsay, our old friend, Ruby Reyes.
I know, my wow girlies!
What's her wow name again?
Reina Del Rey. And Heidi was on WOW. Like, I feel like this tag team is a result of their WOW partnership. They were a tag team on WOW called The Last Call. Heidi was Wrecking Ball, like the Miley Cyrus song, and they were great together. Like, it was kind of like Beastie vibes, and I don't know, Reina's just like that tough little bruiser, and you know, Heidi looks like a road warrior, and they were just like best buds, and of course they were too good for the purple mat, and Heidi's not there anymore. I'm sure she's got some very juicy reasons, but yeah, and they're tagging on the indies together as this tag team, and I think they rule.
Anytime I get to see Heidi, I'm happy. And like, I think Ruby definitely just, you know, like elevates her. I think it's a different vibe than like when it was Heidi and Max, but like it's kind of similar, but Ruby's got more of like, you know, the attitude rather than just like the beast of Max, you know.
I think Ruby's a great straight man to Heidi's, like, wacky, funny, off-the-wall type of guy.
Mm-hmm. And you need that, because Heidi's so much, you know, you can't have, like, the other person being that much, too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I was really, Sadie Gibbs was not advertised for this one, so that was a real pleasant surprise for me, too. When I first got into Stardom in 2017, 2018 maybe, Sadie was in the midst of a Stardom tour at the time, so I was introduced to her at the same time I was introduced to Mayu and Hannah Kimura and all the rest of them, and so I always had like a soft spot for her. And then she signed with AEW, it did 4 appearances and did like, you know, nothing, they did nothing with her, and then she was like one of the first women ever released from AEW. And they were saying on commentary that she had stepped away from wrestling for a couple of years. She was doing fitness instructing or some other stuff like that. Just returned to wrestling kind of recently. So I was like, oh, cool, she's back and she can still go. She did like a really nice springboard moonsault near the end there. And yeah, that was just like a fun little surprise for me.
I thought she looked amazing.
Yeah, this was my first time seeing her. I do not remember her in AEW at all. Maybe that's... that's indicative of something else, but hey, whatever.
You're probably on like Dark or whatever, you know, Elevation. Yeah, or...
yeah, in the early pandemic days, the Dailies era, I can see it. One thing I liked about this match was just it was one of those clear-cut ones where I'm always, because maybe because I'm going to WrestleMania with someone that doesn't watch that much wrestling, I look for matches like this where it's so clear cut what the story is. Like, we've got Sadie returning after like this leave from wrestling. She's with an old veteran that's like a legend. And then there's the cool ones that are Heidi and Ruby. And they're just like loud and obnoxious. And it's just like, okay, the good guys are gonna shut them up and everyone's gonna feel good, but we're gonna like Los Cochinos more.
Yeah, it was Tomoko Watanabe hitting a screwdriver to Heidi Howitzer for the pin in this one. And then the last match of our first half of the night, this one was announced the day of, and it was Jordynne Grace versus Yu.
This was a Haas match and I loved it.
Yeah,
I flipped my wig when I saw it on the card. I was so excited.
I have in my notes, Grace got the biggest ovation of the night to this point, but maybe for the entire night.
Yeah, I'm surprised probably. It came out so early.
I would say probably. I think she, like, within the past year or so, I think she's made herself a bigger star. You know, just like going to the Royal Rumble and like stuff like that. I mean, and facing people like, you know, Trinity in TNA. I think she's really risen within the past, like, year or two. I mean, she's always been great, but I think she's even, you know, got even higher.
Yeah, she was introduced as the Knockouts champion. She didn't have the belt with her for whatever reason, but that's the same thing, too. It's like, it's cool that Masha's on this show. Masha's on every show. And it's always fun to be like, hey, there's a TNA Knockout here on the show, but Jordan's the champ, you know? She's not just a knockout. She's, like, the face of the division, especially...
Knockout.
Yeah, especially with Deonna gone and Mickey James gone. Like, she is the face of TNA's women's division right now. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, basically two really strong people hitting each other, you know? Yeah, if you like that kind of match, this is the match for you.
This is the match for you.
I'm always into seeing...
It was you versus Jordan.
I'm always into seeing, like, a bigger figured, like, fat person wrestling and being a powerhouse like you. Especially up against someone like Jordynne Grace, which is, like, you know, you would expect someone like her to be a wrestler. Like, you would, maybe if you're a jerk, you look at you and you're like, you're not a wrestler. Oh, no, my friend. You as a wrestler.
Yeah, I think I was introduced to her through Skabon because I don't watch much Marvelous or like a lot of Joshi promotions these days. But I really liked her in that. And I like that she's like a bigger woman, but she's not playing the heel like you would think. Like, you know, whenever it seems like people like Nia Jax, they always get put into that I'm the monster heel role. And she's just so smiling and bubbly that like... That's not her role.
You have a smiley big girl.
That was Aja Kong's gripe, too. She wanted to be a hero, and they're like, no, Aja Kong, you're a big scary monster. Tsk tsk, the story that was never told.
Grace gets a sleeper hold in on you. She tries to break it a couple of times, running her into the turnbuckle. Doesn't work, and eventually she is forced to tap. Jordynne Grace is your winner. And then we go into intermission. Half hour intermission for the live crowd to go buy that merch, get those autographs, get those photos. We come back.
And they had a concert, I think. They had like those people that were
oh,
up
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, the drummers.
I think they came down and played for them.
Taiko drummers, I think it's called.
Oh, that's sick. Taiko, yeah.
So again, my notes, my notes that I'm working on at this point in the show are from what had been announced on social media like 2 days prior. So I'm like, oh, they're going to intermission? There's only two matches left. That's weird. Mm-hmm. And then we come back and it's like, oh no, here's like another two matches we're doing. And these ones are all going to be like twice as long as the first half. All the matches on the first half of the night.
Yeah, I've been my write-up and like I had my matches that were announced before and I'm like, scratch that out, put something up in.
The first half, everything's like 8-9 minutes, and then the second half, everything is like 15 minutes, basically. a lot of things getting shuffled around, but we kick off the second half with Magenta, which is the team of Maria and Rinko Kawahara, taking on Zara Zaker and Jada Stone.
I've seen Magenta pop up like a lot on the West Coast Pro shows that they've been doing in conjunction with Marvelous, and they've been, you know, really impressive. Do you guys know more information about them?
I don't. I want to say they're like Marvelous former Marvelous Tag Champs. This was another one where I'm like, okay, we've sat through half an hour of IWTV ads and commercials, and then we come back and I'm like, I don't really know who these women are, and it's another tag match that's kind of like brought, like, my enthusiasm is waning a bit. And it's a longer one, it's like 14 and a half minutes, which isn't like to their fault, but, and it was another one where I'm like, okay, well, like, obviously the Japanese talent are winning, like, so.
Yeah, especially since the American team isn't like a team, you know, it's just kind of like two people, you know, wrestling together.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that. Why is that? And it's a real thing for me. Like, if I go into a wrestling match and I know 100% who's going to win, I'm less invested and I'm not as interested in the match. But it's like, I'll go into like every single superhero movie knowing Spider-Man's going to win, Black Panther's going to win. So like, how come I'm not bothered by that? Why is it different?
Maybe it's like made to like not want to know like the results of like a baseball game or, you know, wrestling or something like that. Or like, I'll say like, whenever I go to a concert, if I see the set list, it kind of ruins it for me because now I know what's coming up next, you know? So I guess maybe that's similar.
I think I'm just a spoiler junkie because I just like start grabbing at other stuff. Like if I see a set list for a concert, I'm like, yo, I know almost all of these songs by heart. It's gonna be good. But yeah, I thought this match probably would have been a great opener because much like Harley, I was just like, I had already gotten like snuggled into my bed and like turned off my lights. And this, like, I thought Magenta was kind of cool. Like, I like the idol, like, portion of, like, fusing into Joshi. I think that's a really interesting thing. And whenever, like, you have someone, like, doing a little song and dance number, it's at least a little better when they know how to fight. it's a good compensation. And I liked Jada and Zara. They were my first time seeing either of them, but I really like the mean girls in wrestling. They're always terrific.
I really like Jada Stone. She used to be in the Bad Girls Club on OVW. So she does have that attitude in her. And it seems like within the past year or so, she's really gotten a lot better.
Match number 7, Mio Momono versus Hyann, another former Grit and Glitter guest, our fave Hyann. This was one where
my match of the night.
And this was one that I felt bad because I was fading. I was like, I'm not used to watching 3 hours of wrestling, honestly. Like, I don't watch that much in one sitting. So, like, you know, even if I'm watching like an AEW pay-per-view, they make sure to put on like a Darby Allin match or something where I can go to the bathroom. Or a Jericho match or something, you know? Here, I'm like, I'm coming this for the show and it's women's wrestling. I'm going to watch the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm starting to fade. My eyes are starting to shut. I love Hyann. Mio's great. If this wasn't the 7th match on the card, I would have loved this match. As it is, I was like, I like this match.
Yeah.
I was in the same boat too. I was really hoping they would put up the replay on IWTV today so I could see it before we did this and like review it. Because I was like, this is going to be so good when I'm not falling asleep.
Yeah, I thought it's amazing. There are lots of Marvelous people on this show. I've been seeing Mio a lot on the West Coast Pro Marvelous shows too. and she's super impressive. And Hyun just yesterday said she's the best unsigned women's wrestler in America, and that would be hard to argue.
Yeah, she's been on the show twice, and I swear, like, Emma and I probably interviewed her for the first time, I don't know, 3 years ago? Maybe? 4 years ago? And at the time, we were like, I can't believe she's not signed yet. And every year, I say that still. I'm like, what? She'd be perfect in Impact. She's got the look. She's got the gear. She's got, like, the talent. Like, I don't understand what these promotions are doing. And, like, no offense to, like, some other women out there, but sometimes I see some women get signed to TNA or to AEW, and I'm like, why? Like, why her and not all these other women that I think are better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, what's going on with their heads? But yeah, High End definitely needs to be on TV soon.
Is she like Effie, where she's just like, I'm good enough to be like an independent, like, I don't want to say contractor, but like independent wrestler, like on my own and not be with Impact or any of them? Because I know he's like, I used to listen to his, what was it, like Monday Not Raws that he would do on Twitch, and he would talk a lot about that. And I don't know if like she's actively trying to get on somewhere, or
if memory serves, she I think said to us that she would love to be like in WWE or in TNA or one of these places. Like, her best friend is Roxanne Perez, who's all over NXT now. So I don't think she would turn down the opportunity by any means. Match number 8, our last tag match of the night, Takumi Iroha and Masha Slamovich taking on Marina Shafir and Trish Adora. We got a Joshi wrestler, we got an AEW wrestler, we got a TNA wrestler, we got a former AEW wrestler. This was originally going to be Takumi and Mio Mamono taking on MK Ultra, but it seems like MK Ultra are done because Killer Kelly has reportedly left TNA, so we don't really know what's going on there. But Kelly did get pulled.
Come on, Harley, what's the rumors?
That's the only rumor I've heard, is that Kelly's leaving. Yes, but, but I'm like, is she going back?
I looked at a Reddit the other day, and they said that, I think it was Sonrosh Sap said that she's still going to be in TNA, but I don't know, like, how much he knows. And that's just Reddit.
Yeah, I guess we'll wait and see, but, I mean, Kelly was supposed to be on the show team with Masha, and then she wasn't, so that's something, right? This was the one match out of the 9 that did surprise me with the finish, because it was Masha getting a snowplow to Trish Adora for the pin, and I was like, oh, but she works for Tony Khan. She's not allowed to get pinned. I thought for sure Marina Shafir was there to take the pin.
Yeah, I want to say that I've seen Sunny Kiss get pinned outside of AEW when she was still there, but that could have been like 2020 era stuff. I don't know. Like, maybe it was different back then. Because I thought she lost at a big gay brunch, but I could be wrong. Because wasn't it to like, who was it? Cassandra? In the first big gay brunch that Sunny Kiss wrestled?
Okay.
Yeah. I thought Sunny lost that one, but that could have been 2020 rules.
The one other thing that I have in my notes, especially coming out of this match, that kind of took away from the show for me, aside, like, you know, the stuff about like me being sleepy and the show being long, whatever, that's my problem. I'm an old man. That's whatever. You watch it on a replay and like you don't have those issues. The one thing that was a little bit maybe of an issue for me was it felt like none of these matches really had stakes. Like, it didn't really, like, I didn't come away from any of the matches other than the main event really feeling like it mattered who won or who lost. You know, none of the singles matches were really talked about in a way of like, oh, the winner of this will definitely be in line for a title shot against Unagi. None of the tag matches were like, oh, maybe there'll be Kitsune. Like, there's so many tag matches on the show. You'd think there'd be like teasing, like Kitsune tag titles coming in the near future. There wasn't really any indication of that. So it was like a lot of like, hey, these are fun matches, and it's cool to see these different wrestlers from different areas mix it up. But it didn't really ever feel like it mattered what the outcome was.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, let's throw these dream matches together and, you know, wow the crowd.
Yeah, like kind of like they can almost hide behind like, well, you know, it's just like our first or second show. Like we're just sort of like testing the water still. But yeah, that's kind of the lens I looked at the whole night through. It's almost like watching WoW sometimes where it's like a lot of these wrestlers might only be there for four episodes. Like it's just kind of seeing like what sticks to the wall before you can really start like cooking with gas, you know?
Yeah, and anyone who knows me knows I hate when a promotion, like, crowns a champion on, like, their first or second show. Because I'm just like, no, like, give me the chase, you know? Give me a tournament. Not even, like, give me, like, three shows to, like, establish who your roster are. Then start a tournament so that when the tournament starts, I legitimately think, like, oh, any of these people could win it. I don't know where this is going to go. You know, I want the chase. I want the build-up. I want to... should be like a big crowning moment when somebody wins the title. Instead, it was just kind of mm-hmm. like, "On hey, it's our first show, and by the way, Unagi is taking on Dark Sheik and blah, blah, blah tonight for the title." And it's like, oh, well, okay. And then she's here, and she's defending against Jinai Kai, and it's like, why? Why did Jinai get this title shot? What did Jinai do to warrant this over the many, many other talented women on the card, you know?
Not even a video package.
Yeah, or just an explanation from commentary about like, yeah, why did Jinai end up in this position as opposed to Haiyan or Miyamomono or Masha or one of these other people? Because like I love Jinai. I'm not like slaying her. I'm just like, tell me the story. Like make me care about this match. Make me like want to know what's going on. Jinai did like a kind of post match heel move, but until that point I didn't think she was wrestling as a heel for the match. Like I never think of Jinai as being a heel, but I don't watch MLW, so I don't know what she's been doing lately.
Yeah, she's a heel. She's kind of like hired gun type deal in MLW. Like she herself doesn't necessarily act like a heel, but like the people around her do. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, so she'll just do whatever.
Yeah, she's like with a group, and then like they tell her to just beat the crap out of someone, and then she knocks them out in 15 seconds.
Good for her, Miss Bloodsport alumni.
Yeah, so again, kind of what I've been saying for the whole show. I'm like, good match, great two great talented wrestlers. I'm happy that they're getting bookings and they're getting showcased on these platforms. I'm sure the live crowd had a blast. You know, wasn't didn't wow me. Didn't make, you know, I didn't come away from the show feeling like, oh, I got to tell like my friends who didn't watch the show, like you guys got to go check this show out, because, and it didn't. I'm not raring for like the next Kitsune show. I'm not like, boy, I can't wait for the next show to see like the payoff to that. That conference, that, you know, that showdown that Unagi and Masha had after the main event, because we didn't get anything. Unagi won with a roll up, and then Jinai like attacks her after the match. Mio and Takumi chase her off, and that's the show.
Yeah, I didn't want to like speak too much ill on it either, because I did like the people they assembled for it, and I think like what they did like by a second show was pretty good. Like, there were some audio and visual issues. Like, I wish some of the camera shots were a little better. But, like, I kept, like, thinking, like, oh, man, this is what Skabon would be like if they had, like, a quarter of the budget. Like, I wanted that extra little slick presentation that Skabon has, too. Because, like, I don't think those shows are very high stakes either. And because they have, like, such a crazy, like, high fashion element and like such a great presentation and like those really slick anime like openers, like I forgive it. I'm like, that's okay. Like, I'm gonna see this like lady in a latex kitty cat outfit do the John Moxley entrance to Stray Cats. Like, what more could you want? Like, you can let that happen. But Kitsune is just like, they don't have that. There wasn't even like a mascot guy dancing around. Like, where's that? Like, I want that little extra, maybe it's corny of me, but I want that little extra of, like, carnyism in there to take it to the next level, to kind of, like, gloss over these other things, like, and low stakes matches.
A lot of, like, what we like about, like, Joshi is, like, it, your TJPW and, like, DDT and stuff like that. There is humor involved. It's not always the, you know, super serious, you know, Josh Barnett type match, you know, so you do get a little more fun.
Yeah, I'm a fun girl. I love that.
Yeah. So that was Kitsune show number 2 or 3, depending on whether that other show actually happened in November. Unagi Sayaka remains Kitsune champion. Like I said, it was 5 months between the first show and this one. We'll see if there's another show this summer or if it's, you know, not until like August, September again. Can't have been cheap to have 30 wrestlers on the card and flying this many in from Japan and Mexico. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, because West Coast Pro had their show the day before and they had a lot of Marvelous people there. So it was a lot of the same people that were on the West Coast Pro show were on the show.
Okay, yeah, and that's a smart move to do, is to pair up with somebody else and cut down on the travel costs.
I think you have to, you know.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I'll keep listening, I'll keep watching on social media and stuff, see what their next show is, see if it becomes clear if there's like more of a roster, or if every show is kind of just like, hey, who's around, who's available, and yeah, will we get tag titles? Who will Unagi defend against next? We thought Unagi was going to be the first Skavon champion, and she got robbed.
I'm still waiting for them to put the second show up on their YouTube.
Yeah, this isn't a Skavon podcast, but whatever happened to them? Because it's been like months and months since their second show, and there hasn't even been a hint of a third show coming.
I want it, though. I want one real bad.
That is our show. Thank you for sticking around with us. We are the Glitterati. This is Grit and Glitter. You can find us online at Twitter, Instagram, or Patreon, Grit Glitter Pod. If you support us on Patreon, $1 a month gets you a weekly newsletter written by us, your friends, every Monday in your inbox. $5 gets you that newsletter, archived episodes of Grit and Glitter, old ones from like the early years that aren't available anywhere else anymore, plus bonus podcasts. Em and I finally recorded the 12th episode of our series, Women's Wrestling Entertainment, where we cover the history of women in WWE. From day one, we are up to December 1993, the arrival of Alundra Blaze. That episode will be out in a week or two. And if you support us on Patreon, we take your money and we use it to buy each other's cheesesteaks on the streets of Philadelphia.
That's right.
Oh God, look for me with the Tom Hanks toucan just walking around sad listening to Bruce Springsteen on the streets of Philadelphia.
Me and Em are wearing our
onesies. I'll be running up the stairs
for the brunch.
I want to find some good places to eat too. Like a lot of my matches are just one a day and in the morning.
If you're going to WrestleMania weekend, even if you're going to WrestleMania itself, we forgive you. Find us, track us down, come hang out. I'll have stickers, Grit and Glitter stickers for everybody. And we're just going to have a lot of fun, big blast. This is the warm-up. And then it's like a couple months from now is Money in the Bank in Toronto. And all these people are going to be coming up to Toronto to visit me, right? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, you better. Sick of being the one making the drive all the time. It's a long drive.
I have to get a passport. The last time I went to Canada, I was a little kid, and you didn't need a passport to get in.
Oh, you don't need a passport to get into Canada. You just be like, hey, can I come in? They're like, oh, okay, sure, I guess.
No, it's getting back into America that might be the problem.
Oh, that's where all my stuff is.